Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph. And we are right here at the moment of truth, because as we saw yesterday, we've got a braita that is an absolute contradiction in and of itself. It talks about in the first case where the same brother who gave chalitza goes ahead and marries the woman that he gave chalitza to, and now falls in front of the other brothers, you only get chalitza from them. And as Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, this destroys Reish Lakish's approach, because according to Reish Lakish, she's an Erva. She reverted to being an Eshet Ach of the first brother, and therefore she should never, there's no way that she can fall for Yibum or chalitza. So why does it say she only gets chalitza? And Reish Lakish countered, but the Braita also says that if one of the other brothers went ahead and did the same thing, that then she can just walk out of the house and doesn't even need a get. That proves that there was an Issur Karis, which is like me and not like you, Rabbi Yochanan. So we had a contradiction in the Braita. Is there a way to make this Braita work? Today the Gemara wants to explain that, yes, there is a way to make it work, both according to Rabbi Yochanan and according to Reish Lakish. So now Rav Ashi held of Reish Lakish's approach. So because of that, he explained the Braita in a way that both parts would work out well according to Reish Lakish. And he explained the Reisha of the Braita, which did not seem to work like Reish Lakish. He said it's no problem. It's going like Rabbi Shimon. And we'll explain in a moment what that answer is. Ravina, on the other hand, Ravina holds like Rabbi Yochanan. So because of that, he answered the Braita in such a way that needed to explain how the end of the Braita works out according to Rabbi Yochanan. You can walk out without giving a get, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, how can you walk out without giving a get if it's only an Isser Lav? He went and explained it according to the Shita of the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Shimon. Now let's explain what I mean. So Rav Ashi, he holds like Reish Lakish. So therefore, he had to explain away the first part of the Braita, the Reisha. So Sava like Reish Lakish, and therefore he explained it as follows. HaCholetz li'evim tov v'chazer v'kitsha. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achim. Now that's not true, since there's an Issur Karet on the Achim. Continues the explanation according to Reish Lakish. When we say she needs chalitza min ha'achim, which Achim do you think we mean? We mean the brothers that were born after the brother had died and this guy had gone ahead and did chalitza and married her. So now this was the classic case of baby Levi, who was welcomed to the world by this woman who says, "Welcome, baby Levi. Nice to meet you. I am your brother Shimon's, previous did the chalitza. And he went ahead and married me again afterwards." And then the din is, according to that, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no Isser on the brother, right? So because of that, she needs chalitza. And that would be no problem, because that was the case that he was talking about. And this brother was never Usser from the original Isser Chorus to whom she, alone, to which she reverted after the chalitza. This is hard. If you don't concentrate, then you lose the whole flow. So that would be going Aliba to Rabbi Shimon. And the Seifa says, and what about if one of the brothers, meaning which one of the brothers? One of the brothers who had been born before the chalitza was done, and therefore is introduced as baby Levi, who is, "Hello, baby Levi, I am your deceased brother that you never met and will never meet again. I am his wife waiting for chalitza." Oh, remember, baby Levi says that means that she's going to be Asur on me forever. Yes, in that case, if indeed he goes and he gives her kedushin, she can just walk out, because then she is an Issur Karet on him. That works out fine. I'll leave it to Reish Lakish. Now, Ravina, since he held like Rabbi Yochanan, he wanted to explain the Braisa according to Rabbi Yochanan. To do that, he explained it like the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Shimon. And he says it like this. HaCholetz li'evim tov v'chazer v'kitsha. That's great. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achin. All the achin, I don't care, because they're never, once the woman is falls to Yibam, it takes off the entire Aishas Ox. I don't care what we're talking about, the old brothers, the new brothers, whatever. That would be, so Man Achim, in this case we're talking about any of the brothers, Achin Hanoladin, all of these brothers had been born before the first brother died. But if I hold like the Rabbanan, if baby Levi gets born, I don't care when he was born, he obviously is going to be usher for another reason. He's going to be usher because of Eshesach Shaloya Balomo. He's not going to be usher because of this Asher Lo Yivneh. He's not going to be usher because of the first marriage Tam. He's going to be usher because to him, the first marriage was never canceled through Yibam because he didn't exist at that time. And therefore there was no Yibam on him. Now, so that is great. And the other case, the case in the Seifa, I have to explain. Okay, how do I explain that? That's talking about if one of the brothers who was born afterwards, so he is usher even according to me, as an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. If he gets up and he gives her Kiddushin, then he is an Erva with her, right? Because he's Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo according to the Rabbana. And therefore, Ein La Lav Klum. And who does that go like? Like the Rabbanan, who argue, and they say that no matter when it is that you will, even if you find her already married with somebody else, you still are Venetian Sakim Shalhaya Ba'olam, according to Rabbanan. So the whole Brisa is perfectly like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we seem to have a machlokas, which is just like this one between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Abal Yevama. So somebody, one of the brothers, goes ahead and he takes his Yevama. And now his other brother goes ahead and sleeps with the Tzara. So now the question is, what is the din of the Tzara? Pligi bar Ravacha v'Ravina. Now one of them says, if he sleeps with the Tzara even after Yibam of the other woman, he's Chayev Karas. And the other one says, no, it's only an Isser Aseh. What's the Isser Aseh? Asher lo yivneh. Even though Asher lo yivneh sounds like an iser lav, right? But the truth is, that is the mitzvah to take. This is what happens to whoever isn't mekayim that mitzvah, he's not going to be mekayim it again. So it's basically a lo taseh that comes from an essay. And a lo taseh ba michlal aseh is only an aseh. So therefore the other one says no. It's only a mitzvah aseh. So the one who says it's karas apparently is going like Reish Lakish, that she reverts and becomes an Isser Karas again. And the one who says Ba'aseh is clearly going Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. So we see this clarifies that this is, in fact, an overall machlokas. We just finished answering the contradiction in the Braita of how it is that we understand the situation of a woman who is falling to other brothers, was taken by other brothers, and there seems to be a contradiction in the Braisa as to whether the Kiddushin would be Chal, because the last part of the Braisa says if one of the brothers goes and is Mekadosh her, she can just walk out. She doesn't even need a get, doesn't need Chalit, doesn't need anything. And that is clearly assuming that there's an Isser Karet. That's Reish Lakish Shita. But then the first part of the Braisa says that if the guy went ahead and he was Cholit Liavimto, she needs chalitza from the brothers, which only makes sense if there's no Isser Karet on the brothers. And that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. And so we had two approaches. Both approaches utilized the idea of the Eshet Ach Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, and one went according to Rabbi Shimon, and one went according to the Rabbanan, and therefore was talking about the difference between a brother that was born afterwards, which according to Rabbi Shimon would actually be if he was born after the marriage to the one who did the chalitz, who then went ahead and took her, she wouldn't be asur to him. So therefore, we could simply adjust who the brothers are that we're referring to. That was the last thing that we had said, and that was the difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, and was the difference between Rav Ashi's approach, who held like Reish Lakish, and therefore he explained the whole Braita like Rabbi Shimon, and Ravina, who held like Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore he explained the whole braisa like the Rabbanan. But the bottom line is, it's the same basic approach. It's utilizing the Eshet Achshav Hayabo Olamo to create an Isser Karet and say that that's the brother that we're referring to. So we can easily adjust the Reisha and the Seifa. So that's where we got up to Itmar. And that Itmar is just about in the middle of the daf, first word on the line. So I don't want to admit that we went one line down of the Rov of the Yomad, because after all, we're supposed to be starting the daf here, but it's sort of right bang in the middle. Okay, so Itmar. So the question is like this. Somebody takes a Yavama, so he's Baal Yavama, and he actually takes her in Yibum, but then there's other brothers, and one of them goes ahead and he sleeps with the Tzara. Now, this, of course, is the question that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were talking about. So, Pligi Baravacha Ravina, we have a machlokas. Chadamar Bikareit. So, one of them says that there is Karet on that other brother, because remember, as Reish Lakish learned, that the moment that one of the brothers does the Yibum, the other brothers revert to the original situation in which she is an Isser Karet. So, he obviously, whoever that one is, holds like that. V'chadamar ba'aseh, and that is going, clearly, like we said before, Aliba Rabbi Yochanan, and that the Isser of the Pasuk that sounds like it's a lav, Asher lo yivnet Beit Achiv, is really an aseh, because it's saying you have to build Beit Achiv, and this is what we do to someone who doesn't. So that is a lav haba miklal aseh. A lav haba miklal aseh is an aseh. So man diomer b'karet is like Reish Lakish, and man diomer b'aseh is like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now let's move on. Truth is, I think this is where we got up to, but okay. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. I want to talk about a new situation. The new situation is, what would be the din of the Tzarat Sota? Now, you remember that at the beginning of the Masechet, that's exactly the case that we said that the Mishnah is excluding because of this Maimer of Rav, to tell you that actually the Tzarat Sota does not fatter. So here's the question. The Tzarat Sota, she's obviously asura to her own husband. Now, that means that if that husband dies without a child, says Rav, that she is going to be Betura from Yibum. Why is that? Because it calls her Tum'ah. The Lashon that it uses about a woman, Venistra, who is a Saita, it says Vehi Nitme'ah. But Nitme'ah is exactly the language that it says by all of the Arayas. Al Titama'u B'chol Eile. So the Tum'ah that is mentioned over there on the Arayot is basically what paters the erva and the tzaras erva from Yibum and from Chalitza. Since it uses exactly the same word for a seita, tainas rav, that means she has a din of an erva, and she is petura, and she even paters her tzara. Masiv Rav Chista, so Rav Chista asked on rav, what are you going to do with the Mishnah we have later on in our Masechet? Rabbi Shimon says that if you have biata o chalitza miachiv shel rishon. Now you remember, I'm assuming from last time, or maybe from 2 times ago, or maybe from 3 times. I just love to do this to you. Okay. So you remember the situation. A woman's husband, please mute yourself. Oh no. Meisha David. So a woman's husband, Moshe Handel, a woman's husband goes overseas. And the halacha is that if Eid Echad comes along and says that her husband died overseas, so the Chachamim allowed her to be Semech on an Eid Echad. However, in order to make that possible, what they said was that in the event that it turns out that her husband had not died, so there she is, sitting in a restaurant with her new husband, all with their arms around each other. Guess who walks in, looking a bit disheveled after his long trip home? The original husband. Darling, says he. Who's that? Anyway, that's a big problem. So because of the situation, the Chachomim said, she's got to drop both husbands. So she's going to need a get from the original husband. And she's Asura on the second husband. And any children that she had with the second husband obviously are mamzerim, because she was married the whole time to the first husband. Even though you'll say it's not her fault, because the Beis Din allowed her to get married. So essentially she is an anusa. So why is she Asura on her original husband? So it turns out that it's only because we made her Asura on her first husband that we can rely on the Eid Echad. Why is that? Because we made the consequences so dramatic in the event that she takes the chance of marrying this guy, she may end up losing everything. First husband, second husband, all of her ketuvot, she's out on the street. And it's because of that that we are convinced that she is going to do a very good job of researching whether it's true that her husband is alive or not. And therefore, mitoch ha-chumra, she'chmarta alea b'sofa, hekalta alea b'tchilata. Since we made dire consequences in the event that she ended up marrying with her husband still alive, because of that, we are able to allow her to rely on an Eid Echad at the beginning. Okay, so now he's alive. And that means that her relationship to husband number two was the relationship of a Saita, right? Okay, so we said, since she's still technically married to the first husband, he has to give her a get. But suppose he died before he gave her the get. So now she died from a legally married husband, right? So it says over here, what's the halacha? That she gets chalitza, but does not get yibum. Because part of her not being royally yibum is that the Rabbanan gave her a din of a seitan. Okay. However, according to Rabbi Shimon, since she wasn't her fault, in a sense, and she didn't mean to be doing an act of a seita, so because that, he's even allowed to take her lechatchila in Yibum. So when the Rabbanan asked her to go back to her husband, and they forced her to give her a get, they did not extend that ad kedei kach, that she shouldn't even do Yibum. So therefore, she's like a regular woman, and if her first husband dies, any of his brothers are allowed to do whatever they want, Yibum, chalitza, as they wish. So therefore, biata o chalitzata, shall amiachiv shall rishon, patters the tzora that was always back with the husband and had no problem. She never went and got married to anybody else. So therefore, it's a normal relationship, and her tzora is patura. Now, what that means is that the tzora of a seita does not need yibum and does not need chalitza. So Rav said that you can't get yibum, and you can only get chalitza, but in this case, according to Rav, it's a diaraisa, and therefore you don't get either. So how do you explain that? You said it says tuma, and tuma means she's ptura, and paters are tzara. Says Rav, are you weird or something? I was talking to you about a real seita, and you bring me this case of a seita derabbana. This woman is not a seita, because remember, she's really an anusa, and it's like she was raped. The only thing is that we are machmer on her ki'ilu, she's a seita. So what? So you're going to bring me a raya that on the derabbanan that treats her ki'ilu, she's a sota. So you're going to ask a kasha on me if I said a real sota, which is where it says tuma in the pasuk tiraisa, that she is potter and poteres is sarata. What's one have to do with the other? What's the matter with you guys? Yeah. What is the matter with you guys, asked the Gemara. With the ka'arilo, what's Rav Chisda thinking? My ka'arilo, what kind of weird question is that? Obviously, it's not a real case of a sota, answers the Gemara, because Rav Chisda holds that if the Rabbana were going to be treating her as if she were a sota, then the general rule is, kol d'takun Rabbanan ke'en d'araisa tikun. Anything that was a takunat Rabbanan, let's treat her like a sota. Well, treating her like a sota means treating her like a sota. It means that we'd have to give her the same exact din. So they would have said, that even the tzara can only be choletzet, because we're treating her as if she's an erva, as if she's the site of the araisa. Obviously, we can't say you don't need anything, because we can't cancel the key of the araisa. But as far as we can go to treat her as if she's a saita, we are going to treat her as if she's a saita. So that wasn't much of a kash. Okay, another kash on Rav. Motzi Rav Ashi. What about the Mishnah in Saita? The Mishnah says like this. If a woman goes into the place and the husband said, don't ever be alone with this guy, and she decides that she likes taking elevator trips to the 94th floor with him. So I wonder what's going on behind those doors. That's exactly why the husband said, do not be alone with that guy. Okay, I'm not sure about that, by the way, because the elevator could open up on any door, so therefore on any floor. It would have to be like this straight to the 99th floor elevator and only that. So anyway, if she's alone with the guy and she's there long enough for them to actually have had some intimacy, so then she's asur leveita, and she's asur lechol betruma. These are all the standards din of a saita who is nisteret. So she can't eat the truma of her husband if she's married to a kohen anymore, and she's not allowed to sleep with him until she drinks from the meisaita to establish that she's really innocent. Now here's the important part: the imate, if that husband dies before she has this drinking, do we find out? And he just died. So now obviously she's not going to drink the meiseta. If he dies, she gets chalitza, but not yibum. Now here we're talking about the seita herself, a real seita. And it says that she needs chalitza. And according to Rav, she doesn't need chalitza because it says tuma. And again, Rav looks at you like you're out of your mind. I'm talking to you about a seita that slept with somebody. That's where it says hutama. And you're telling me about a case of a seita that might have slept with somebody. Obviously, she's going to need chalitza because I don't know that she really had relations with him. Why are you bringing me a raya? Mina lecha ana sota vadai. And you turn around and you bring me a raya from a sota safek. This makes sense to you? It's not the same. Says the Gemara, why is it not the same? Why is it that you are saying, Maishna Sota Vadai? What was it that you found about the Sota Vadai that you said was the reason for us to treat her like an erva, even though she isn't? Because it said the word Tuma, right? And since it said the word Tuma, that gives you the same din of Al Titamu B'Cholela of the Arayot. Well, I got news for you, Rav. A Saita that is a saita only because she was alone in the elevator with the guy. It also says tuma about her. And since it says tuma about her, it should be exactly the same din. So, maishna sota vadai mishum dechtiv batuma. Why did we say, according to you, Rav, that we're going to treat her as if she's an erva d'oraisa and she potters herself and her tzara from yibum and chalitza? Why? You said because it uses the word tuma, right? Well, by the sota suffix, the regular woman who was alone, we don't know for sure that they had actually done anything wrong. It also uses the same lashon of tuma. Now, gentlemen, before we learn the next piece, I want to bring you up to date so that it won't be confusing. It just will take a moment. There are two completely different parshas. One of them, of course, we know is in Nasai, where over there we have the idea of Seita. That's the parsha that talks about the expansion of the Mishkan. And it says over there, V'shachav ish otash ha-shichvat zera, v'ne'alam me'inei isha, v'nistera v'hi nitme'a. Now that's the Seita. She went into Seita, and he nitme'a, v'eid einba, which obviously means we don't know whether she was nitme'a. So it says a lashon of nitma'a, right? Now, there's another parsha, and of course the other parshas in Ki Tetzé, where all of the parshas that we've been discussing in Yibum appear, because that's Ki Tetzé is all about women and the relationship to women and Eishes Yifas Tohar and the dinim of marriage and so on and so forth. So one of the things, the parsha that we have in Ki Tetzé, is if a husband divorces a wife, she goes and marries another guy. V'yatz'a V'hayta le'ish acher. Now note those words. Hayta le'ish acher means havaya. Havaya is always a lashon of kiddush. So she went, married another guy. The pasuk continues like this. Lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shilcha lo shuv lekachta lehiyoto le'isha. Her original husband is not allowed to take her back acharei asher hu tam'a, after she became tame'ah, because kito evahi lifnei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that to be disgusting. Now, what is this supposed to mean? On the surface, it's saying that a woman who was legally married to a second husband after her first husband divorces her is not allowed to go back to the first husband, and in fact is considered to be a toeva, right? Problem is that does it make sense to you to say the word ki toevahi? Does it make sense to you to say acharei asher hu tam'a? Was she hu tam'a in that second marriage, which is a perfectly legal marriage? The guy married a divorcee, so what's the big deal? That's called acharei asher hu tam'a. So now you're saying, now that the first husband wants to take her back, now all of a sudden we're calling that marriage in between tuma? That's outrageous. How can you say such a thing? Because of that problem, the Chachomim give a strange interpretation of the pasuk. And the Chachomim's interpretation is that the pasuk is talking about two completely different things. And the words that say, lo yuchal ba'ala lakachta acharei asher hu tam'a, is referring to a sota, not referring to ma'aseh grushato. And that's why it uses the word asher hu tam'a. Now that question of that interpretation, that's the way that the Rabbanan learn. However, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says, you can't take a pasuk and slice it in two like that and say that half of the pasuk is referring to a guy that gave a divorce and the other half of the pasuk is referring to the guy whose wife was a saita. And besides that, says Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, note that it says lo yuchal ba'ala rishon. What does it talk about? Shuv lekachta. Lekachta is referring to legal marriage, kedushin. So it can't mean hu tam'a in the sense of erva. It can't mean toeva in the sense of erva, because then how it could be lekachta? It wouldn't be a question of lekachta. You certainly can't have a marriage with her. It should just say it's also to sleep with her. Lo tegal erva ta, right? But what is this business about lekachta? To have two very different approaches. Now, based on those two different approaches, the Gemara now wants to see how Rav will answer this question. That since, according to Rav, the Lashon of Tuma, as it appears in the Parsha of Saita, that Lashon of Tuma turned her into an erva. The question is, where in the Parsha of Saita did it say Tuma? Is he referring to the pasuk in Nosai that says v'nistara ve'hi nitma'a? Is that the pasuk he means? Because if so, then ein achinami, that's talking about a sota mitzad ha-safek, right? So then why did Rav say, amina l'cha'ana sota d'yaraisa, and you tell me no, we're talking about sota vana, and you tell me no, we're talking about a sota safek? And this machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur obviously is going to have important implications for that question. Now, according to the Rebbe, I must ask everyone whether that's clear. Is that clear? Because everything that we're going to discuss is based on understanding that simple point. What is the pasuk of Lo Yuchal Ba'ala Rishon Lashuv Lekachta referring to? Is it referring to a divorcee who married somebody else? Or is it actually referring to a seita? Are we all on the same page over here? Anybody's got a problem with this? Anyone perhaps was half asleep and doesn't know?
I'd like Rebbe's voice to also be clear.
Harunim kol harishayim. Baruchim kol hatzadikim. And we have the Talisker Rebbe with us, dressed in the famous Talisker garb. You know, I'm feeling jealous. Hold on a minute. This is not fair.
I feel a dark storm coming. For those of you for whom it's Purim, happy Purim.
The famous Taoisker Hasidim, the Taoisker garb. Freilich and Purim, Tyre, Taoisker Rebbe. I got you there, didn't I? Great. Okay. So at least we're really on the same page. So now everybody is happy understanding the problem of the pasuk, right? The only one who's not happy is the one guy who hasn't had anything to drink yet, and that's La, as usual. So after the daf, if somebody would please just run over there and just bring a little bit of Talisker. Thank you. It'll make all the difference in the world. Okay. So now now that we understand that pasuk, so now let's get back to Rav. So the Gemara asked on Rav, Tuma is written by a sota suffix too, because take a look at this bright, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Omer Bishum Rabbi Elazar, Hamachzir Grushato min Hanisu'in Asura. If somebody marries the woman that he divorced, who had already been in a chuppah, so that means we could assume the marriage was consummated. So then she's a surah to marry the first husband. But if she only was kiddushin, mina erisin, so then she's muteret. How do we know that? Because it says, acharei asher hutam'ah. And hutam'ah has got to mean that she actually slept with the guy. We certainly are not going to say that kiddushin is acharei asher hutam'ah, right? Okay, so therefore, it obviously is limiting the iser on a case where they had already gone to the chuppah. But the chachamim say, no, that pasuk is not even talking about a machzir grushato. Acharei asher hutama, as we explained earlier, is an inappropriate word to use for someone who was married to a guy and it was a perfectly valid marriage and she had gotten divorced from the first guy. So that's not what it's talking about. It's actually talking about to a case in which she was a Saita who was Nistra, and her husband said, you're not supposed to be alone with the guy, and she is Asura to her husband. That's what it's referring to when it says, Acharei Hutam'ah. So according to the Chachamim, what's it saying over here, Rav, darling? It's saying that a Saita, Acharei, that was Nisteret, we don't know, that nonetheless, she is considered to be Hutam'ah. And that, in fact, was the whole basis of their forcing their drasha into that pasuk. And because of that, you should not make this artificial distinction between the case of the Saita Vada and the case of the Saita Safik. Because it says over here, Acharei asher hutam'ah on a Saita, that was only Nistara. So that's a proof that you are actually wrong. Says the Gemara, no. Rav says that when it says over here that we're coming to be Marba, a Saita who was Nisteret, we don't mean she was Nisteret. We mean she was definitely Nivala. The only reason that we called it Nistara was because we were using clean language, Lishna Ma'alya, because what we want to really point out over here is that we're willing to talk about these two sugyas as if they're the same sugya. So like, yes, in terms of her being a saita, it all starts with her being nistara. But in terms of being included within the parsha of the girusha who goes out and marries another guy, obviously it really means that she was nivala. You understand? They're trying to justify the loose use of language. The Gemara doesn't say this, but this is what lies underneath it all. See, if we can say we're using a euphemism, we never use euphemisms in this sugya, but we do here because we're trying to show how we can sort of shoehorn in the sugya of a seita vadois into the sugya of the gerusha that was hutama, and by using the word nistara, your mind immediately goes to a Saita as opposed to a Grusha, correct? Because that's what the word Nistra always means. But we don't mean she was only Nistra. We mean she was a satyr who definitely had slept with the guy. What do you mean? That's ridiculous. If it's talking about that she actually slept with the guy, why would I have to bring this pasuk to be mechadesh that she's considered to be tmei'a? It says that beferish, v'nistara v'hi nitma'a. Now, doesn't it say that in the parsha of Seita? So then that means v'hi nitma'a is the way the Torah refers to the fact that she did sleep with this guy, right? And it's called nitma'a. So if we're bringing a raya from this pasuk, it's got to be talking about that she was really only nistara. Why would the Chachamim would say we need two separate circuits to tell me the same thing? And they make this crazy drasha that would apply the dinim of a marzir grushato and a pasuk that's talking about marzir grushato and would say it's really talking about a sota. That's nutty. Why would anybody do that? I'll tell you why. Let's say that we didn't have this lo yuchal bala harishon lo shuv lekachta in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. Let's say we only had the story of the seita v'nistara v'hi nitma'a. Is there an iser for the husband to sleep with her? No. It just says, bad boy, naughty, naughty, your wifey, ex-wifey, is really tmeya. Okay, great, she's tmeya, thank you, but you're leaving it up to me and how I want to treat her, right? I guess. It doesn't say don't marry her. I'm just telling you. She's tmeya. Okay, so she's tmeya, great. I don't care. So I need to have a place where there's going to be a lav. Where's the lav? Lo yuchal bal harishon lo shuv lekachta, which means the seita and not the marzir grushato. That's what the Chachamim hold. Anyway, once we brought up the sugya, wouldn't you like to know why Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur disagrees with this whole thing? And he understands acharei asher hutama is in fact referring to grusha, who we use the word hutama to mean had relations with the second husband. He says, what does that got to do with seita? Lav is seita. He doesn't know that there is a lav. Letli, what's your kasha? Where do I know the lav? I don't. I don't hold there's a lav. I hold that a seita is not supposed to be sleeping with his husband that she committed adultery to, but there's no iser lav. Okay, so that boils down to machlokes between Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Even if she definitely was mizana, afilu zanayinami, my taima, I'll prove it to you. How can you think that this parsha of lo yuchal bala rishon lo shuv lekachta? Do you see the language? The language is havaya v'alchava haita. The language is lekachta. The whole sugya is talking about marriage. Those are words about marriage, not about sleeping together. And therefore, obviously, it's not talking about a seita. And that's in the context of this supposed lav. And therefore, it cannot be referring to the case of a seita where there's no havaya to her lover. There's no lekachta. So obviously, we're not referring to her. Anyway, let's think about this question. Of the marzir grushato, now that you bring it up, what would be the din, asks Rav Yehuda from Rav Sheshes, what would be the din if a guy divorces his wife, she goes and marries another guy, he takes her back, so he's a marzir grushato, and he was over on this iser, that if we're understanding now, lo yuchal ba'ala harishon, lo shuv lekachta. It's possible that he didn't even do anything wrong, because maybe all he did was gave her kedushin. And if he gave her kedushin, the Torah is not asering it on her. So, fine. If that's the case, what happens if before we force him to give her a get, because he's not allowed to continue to be married to her, what if he dies? What would be the din of the tzara of this grusha that he took back? Now, we're not asking what would be the din of herself, because we understand that if the Torah prohibits her to him, then the Torah is obviously not going to say the brothers should have to marry the woman that he himself is not allowed to marry in order to save his first marriage. I mean, that's ridiculous. Remember, the whole idea of the Yibum is an extension of his marriage into the next marriage. because she retains the same ketubah. There's the zika that appears because of the first marriage. So it's outrageous to think that the Torah would be telling you, let the brother go ahead and marry her. So obviously the brother's not going to go ahead and marry her. But now the question is, what about the tzara? Is the tzara petura? Or do we say that it's not as if he was married to an Issacharis, he was just married to a woman that he wasn't supposed to be married to? What is the din? Now, there are two possible ways to understand what Rav Yehuda wanted to know, because the situation of Mamarzeh Grushato is one thing according to the Rabbanan and another thing according to Rav Yosef ben Kifa, right? Okay, so here's the first way we understand Rav Yosef's question. Aliba de Rav Yosef ben Kifa, lo tibay lecha. I wasn't asking what the din is according to him, because since Rav Yosef ben Kifa holds that that pasuk is referring to a Mamarzeh Grushato, so it says Tuma de'acharei asher hutama. So if it says Tuma, pow, that means that what Rav was claiming about the Saita, Rav Yosef ben Kifa would say about the Mamarzeh Grushato, right? Because that's where it says acharei asher hutama, according to Rav Yosef ben Kifa. So because of that, there's a din of giving her the same halacha as the arayot in the Torah and Vayikra, lo titam'u mikol eila. Because given the Omer Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, the word tuma is referring to a marzir grushato. So then obviously the tzara is like her, because it applies to her, tzara takamota, and she is asura because of the word tuma. Both of them, the grusha and the tzara, are both usher for Yibam, and Tosfos says that means that they're usher from Yibam and Potter, even from Chalitza. Fine, okay, that's a machlokas rishoni, but the pashtus is that that's what we're referring to, because that's what Ravitz said before, that the word hutama potters her completely as if she were a real erva. So therefore, this is for sure. Now, you'll say, wait a minute, it's not for sure. Because remember those two extra words where it says toevahi. What is toevahi added? It's a miut, isn't it? Toevahi. Now, maybe the way to read that is, but you should know, only she is a toeva and not her tzara. So maybe the whole point of saying toevahi is to say that tzarata is not kemota. And even though on the one hand, the pasuk is saying acharei asher hutama, to give her a din of an erva, but in order to make it clear that the din of the erva on her does not, in this case, apply to her tzara, because of the unique situation here, that it's not a real erva, therefore the Torah says, toeva hi toeva, ve'in tzarata toeva. So then maybe it's not so pashut. Why are you saying, oh, I'm sure, according to Yosef ben Kippur, for sure, not he, not tzarata, neither of them should get yibam? Maybe it's not true. No, that's not the case. Because even though it says imishum dechtiba toeva he, and you think that means he velot sarata, that's not what it means. It means he the ein banea toavim. She's a toeva. But let's say that there were children from that remarriage. Those children are perfectly kosher, and they're allowed to go ahead and to marry kohanim, and there's no pagam in them. So that's not a problem. But that means that we're left with the tzara being, in fact, a toeva, because it's one of the arayas. And so according to this, there's not a question in my mind that according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kifa, there's no din of Yibum on the tzara of a grusha, that he was marzeh. Okay. So therefore, I understand that the question is only aliba derabbana. Now, and here's the question. It's true that the Rabbanan said that the word tuma that appears in this parsha, v'lo yuchal ba'ala rishon l'shuv l'kachta, is not referring to the grusha, strangely enough, and it's actually referring to the saita, weird, but what can you do? So, yes, the Rabbanan do say that, that tuma is written b'saita. But remember the fundamental rule of how to understand a pasuk, ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. Any idiot reading this pasuk reads the pashtus of the pasuk as meaning exactly what it says. If a man divorces a wife and the wife goes and marries another person, the first husband is not allowed to remarry her after she became tmei'ah with that second husband. That's what it says. You don't like that because you don't think it's appropriate for the word tumah to be used on a legitimate marriage. That's your problem. But in terms of the simple meaning of the pasuk, that's what it's saying. So maybe we should say that the drasha does not strip the pshat away from the pasuk. And if it does not, if ein mikrayot semidei pshuto, then that means that the word hutama would be referring also to the case bepashtas of the machzer grushato. Or do we say that, look, since in this case the only way that we know that according to the Rabban, it's referring to a sota and not to a machzer grushato is from the very inappropriateness of that word. It's the fact that acharei asher hutama doesn't make sense to try to apply it to the case of the divorcee because there was no tumah. She had a legal marriage and was a wonderful marriage, much better than the marriage with the first creep that she's going back to now. What could she do if her second husband died? Okay, fine. You're going to call that achrei asher hutamah? But if that's the case, then we can't really say ein mikra yotzei midu pshuto because it was the pshuto that caused us to actually forsake the meaning of the pshat. So therefore, in this case, we should say, O Dilma, kivan di i'akar, i'akar. If it forced you to tear the pshat out of its place, so then that's it. You don't say, yeah, but still, there is still the pshat. I mean, that's the whole point, is that I'm not going according to that pshat, right? So therefore, we should say that according to the Rabbanan, what's the halacha? That it never said a word about tumah on a machzer grushato. Okay, so then according to this, she would be muteres for yibam. That's one way of understanding the question that Rav Yehuda raised. Now, others say just the opposite. Others say like this. According to the Rabbanan, that's where I don't have any question. Because obviously, if they insist on saying that the word hutam'ah cannot be referring to a machzer grushato, so then that cancels the meaning of the pshat because it's on the basis of the pshat that they made that change. So therefore, kivan d'itaker, itaker. So for sure, it doesn't say anything about tumah, okay? So the tzora can definitely be taken by yibam. The only question was, Aliba Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. What? But I thought according to... Yeah, but this way of reading is like this. Since it says, Afagav, the Amr Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, it's true that Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur definitely insisted that the word Achrei Asher Hutama was referring to a Ma'aser Grushasa, and therefore should be treated like an erva. But remember those critical words, toeva hi. So maybe the real meaning of toeva hi is that hi toeva ve'ein sarata toeva. Now that's what I'm not sure of, according to this way of reading the question. Is that how to learn the toeva hi? In which case the tzara would have a din of yibam? Or is the way to learn toeva hi ve'ein banea toavi? That's my question. So since mi'et rachmana, the hi toeva, such hi toeva ve'ein sarata toeva, or maybe, Odilma, hi toeva ve'ein banea toavim. But that would mean that sarata is a toeva. So we have two different ways of understanding the issue. Is it being raised alibid of Yosef ben Kippur, or is it being raised alibid of Rabbana? This is what Rav Yehuda asked Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes answered him. Rav Sheshes said, I believe we can prove this from the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah later on says, Haita achat kishera v'achat besula. So let's say that a guy leaves two wives, one of whom is kshera and one of whom is psula, and now the brother has to decide what he's going to do with these wives. So if he's going to do chalitza, he should do chalitza to the one who's psula. And if he's going to do yibam, he could do yibam to the one who's kshera. Now, I just ask you to consider the following question. What does it mean when it says psula and kshera? Huh? I mean, if it means what it usually means, a woman who's kosher to marry into the kuhuna, or a woman who's a psula to marry from the kuhuna, right? That means kshera la'alma, psula la'alma. I mean, la'alma meaning the way it normally is used for kohanim. I understand. We're not talking about a kohen over here. We're talking about a regular guy, right? and he has to do Yibam. What the heck does he care if he wants to do Chalitza? What does he care if she's kosher for Kuhuna, or if he wants to do Yibam? What does he care if she's kosher for Kuhuna? He's going to take whatever wife he wants. He wants to take the Psula? Fine. He wants to be Chalitza the Psula? Fine. He wants to be Miyabim the Kshera? Whatever he wants to do. Because Kivan the Deichas, for him, it's exactly the same. Mein Afkale Mina, what the heck does he care which one he takes? So obviously, when it uses the word kosher and posel, it's got to be kosher and posel for him. That must be what it means. So kosher means kosher lay. It means kosher for him. Posel means it's posel lay. Okay. So then what would be a case where that would make sense? That she's only kosher vis-a-vis the Yibum to the particular guy. She's only posel particularly to the Yovam. And it doesn't have any bearing on anybody else. What kind of posel to him would that be? Marzik Rushato. It's talking about that the simple case is that over here you had a Marzik Rushato who was posel, but only posel because she was posel to her husband, and her other wife, the Tzara, was completely kosher. So it must be referring to that case. One is posel because she's the Grusha, and the other one is kosher because she's only the Tzara. And it says over here, if he's being Miyabim, he's Miyabim, the kosher one. So what does that show you? That a Tzara of a Marzik Grusha is allowed to be Mityabim, even though it used the word Tum'ah. Why? Must be because Toeva Yi means only she is a Toeva and not the Tzara. So basically, we're assuming that this is going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kifa. Why are we assuming that it's going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi ben Kifa? Because what would be the Chiddush? If it's going Aliba de Rabbanan, obviously, we already know that they hold that she's kosher for Yibam, because they hold there was no mention of Tuma in that context at all. So it's got to be Rabbi Yossi ben Kifa. Okay, so that answers your question. Assuming that the Shaila was, how do we read the word Toeva Yi? Here's your answer. He Toeva, ve'ein tzarata Toeva. Says the Gemara, no. Why can't it be referring to kosher, regular kosher to a coin? Posel to a coin. Your naive question about, well, I mean, if he's not a coin, what does he care? I mean, what are you, some kind of dumb American or something? What do you mean, what does he care? Because, well, it's none of my business. I don't care. Well, what does none of my business mean? If you take the woman who was kosher to the Kohen and you give her chalitza, she's not going to be kosher to a Kohen anymore. So why the heck would you do that to her when you don't have any kind of profit from it at all? You could take the posel woman, who anyway is psula to the Kohen, and give her chalitza. Why ruin it for no reason? What, because it's more convenient? It'll save you 5 cents? You'll have a cheaper dining hall? Who thinks like that? And that is the beautiful way. Your kasha, naive kasha, that kiva de lidei chazya, my nafka mina, that is the modern solution to such problems. Whatever. What do I care? It's none of my business. This is Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, you know what the pshat in this Mishnah is? This is where Rebbe taught us that when you have junk that you want to throw out and somebody else can use it, don't throw it out. That's the pshat. So from here we see Kan Shana Rebbe. Here's where Rebbe taught us a little piece of decency. Lo yishpoch adam mei boro v'acherim tzrichim lahem. This is done all the time. People throwing out the most incredible things. I don't need it. So what's the difference? You can't bother finding somebody who does need it. It's too much trouble. So that's exactly what it's saying. Why posel a woman for the kuna with chalitza when you don't need to? That's all that it's saying over here. And it has nothing to do with the halacha. Okay, so then we can't bring a raya from you. Let's bring a raya from the braisa. Tashma. Hamachzir grushato mishenis 8. He vitzarata choletze. Somebody actually remarried the grusha, which was Asur, and then he dies. So both she and the Tzara require chalitza. What do you mean? Both she and the Tzara require? That's crazy. Why did they both? You can't mean that. You're really trying to tell me two women from the same bias need chalitza? That's nutty. I mean, Bayit Echad Hu Boneh and Kol Olo LeYibum Olo LeChalitza. Okay, so change the language, all right? Ohi Otsar, it doesn't mean both of them. It means either of them. One of them. One of them needs Chalitza. Okay, but stop bothering me. But the bottom line is, you understand what it's saying over here, that either of them can have Chalitza, but not Yibum. So there's your answer. You wanted to know, can I be Miyabim the Tzara? The answer is no. You can only be Chalitz the Tzara. They're fairish. You bring me a Braita that makes no sense. And then you change the language of the Braita. And after changing the language of the Braita, it conveniently proves what you set out to prove. I love it. I mean, if you're going to change the language, maybe change it in the language in the other direction. And instead of saying that what it really said was, oh, he, oh, tzarata, why don't you change it to read, he choletzet, and then turn in the words, oh, mityabemet. That's what you should add, instead of just adding the O between. So she could either be choletzet or mityabemet. I don't know. But you certainly can't bring a raya from a brisa that needs a tikkun of the girsa, can you? So how about if we move on? Okay, so actually, we have another question that Rabbi Yochanan raised, that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said. Rabbi Yochanan asked the question of what would be the din. Same issue. Somebody's marzeh grushato, she got married, and he asked, what is the din of the tzara? Can I be miyabim or not? So Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yochanan, why are we only talking about the tzara? Why aren't we talking about her? V'tibar locha hi gufa. I mean, how do you know that she is what you're assuming she's asura? Maybe she's not. Isn't that nogea, whether it says the word tuma by her? Isn't that like a big issue? No, says Rabbi Yochanan. He go fellow kami bayali. There's no question in my mind that she definitely is not going to be ruya for yibum because it's a kal v'chomer. If she was b'mutter la nesras, Geras Labach, if she became asura to the guy that she was once mutera to, namely her husband. So the one that she was always usher to, the husband's brother. So now she's going to become mutter. Lo kal shekein that she's usher. So therefore, I don't ask about her. Obviously, she's not allowed to get yibum. I want to know what the tzara's din is. Because this kal v'chomer, how do I understand this kal v'chomer? Is this kal v'chomer strong enough to actually make her the equivalent of the tzora of an erva? And that what we're saying is, well, this marriage is not meant to be extended into brotherhood and yibum. And here we go. See, this woman is not, well, if you were married to the same guy as this woman, so then you're basically talking about a woman who is an eshes ach, shelo b'makom mitzvah, and therefore you're asura. Just like all of the tzoras are asura in that case. That's the basis of tzara's tzara, is it not? So then this tzara is a tzara's tzara, essentially. You weren't allowed to get married. You were left as an eshet ach shelo b'makom mitzvah, and therefore the tzara is the tzara of an eshet ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. Maybe, says Rabbi Yochanan, but maybe not. And I understand that the kal v'chomer definitely tells me not to have the brother marry her. But is it actually saying that there's bechalal no chiyuv of yibum technically? And that therefore would actually turn her into an eshach shelo b'makom mitzvah? Or maybe not. Maybe it's just how to be knowing, but it's not going to be as if she's an erva. So that, says Rabbi Yochanan, this is that I don't, I just want to know, miolin kal v'chomer l'mitchitzar. That is the first approach to what Rabbi Yochanan asked. In this approach, there's also an alternative, and that is Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak. He reads it differently. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan answered. Rabbi Yochanan asked, what is the din of a machzir grushato that married another guy, and he went and he took her back, and he asked, what's her din? Not what's the tzara's din. What's her din? And in this version, Rabbi Ami said to Rabbi Yochanan, why are you only asking about her? Why aren't you asking about the tzara? So it's the mirror image of the case, the first way of reading it. And in this version, Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, that Sarah, for sure, there's no question about her. I mean, the only reason that we would answer her is because of the Kal Vachomer, and the Kal Vachomer is definitely not strong enough to exclude the Tzara from Yibum, because it didn't turn the first wife into an actual Erva. So therefore, in this approach, for sure, that's not the question. I just want to know whether this Kal Vachomer is good enough to pater her. So Kikami Boili, he goof. I want to know what her din is. My, is the Kal Vachomer strong enough to cancel a Mokum mitzvah, to cancel the mitzvah of Yibum? Or do we not rely on this Kal Vachomer? We could say that it's better to do Chalitza. But basically, the Kal Vachomer is not really telling me that she's asura to him like an erva. And in this version, we could just do this very quickly, because this version, we do exactly the same thing we did in the other version. So Rabbi Ami says, oh, this is the Mishnah later on. If he's going to do Chalitza, should do it to the Psula. And if he's going to do Yibam, then he's Miyavim L'Kshera. And what do you think it means when we use the word kosher and pusul? You think it means kosher and pusul to the world, to Kohanim? No, that's ridiculous. He's not a Kohen. It can't mean that, because given the Lidei Chazya, if she's good enough for him, what does he care if she's pusul to the Kohen? So therefore, my nafka lemina must mean kosher specifically to him and pusul specifically to him, meaning that the tzara is kosher to him and their actual woman is pusul to him. So that would be the case of the Marzi Grushato. And it says, ima yami yabim, miyabim l'kshira. And we give the same answer. This is not a Mishnah for selfish people and self-involved people. It's talking about kshira, kshira le'alma. Psula, psula le'alma. And as far as your naive question of kiven le'lidei chazya, my nafka le'mina, as we said before, mishum de Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Rebbe is simply telling you about common decency. And therefore, if you have an option of being chaylets the isha that's already psula lakuna versus a woman that you're going to make psula lakuna, so of course, take the woman that's already psula lakuna. And that is kanshana Rebbe. Don't pour out your dishwater when somebody needs it. So lo yishpoch adam mei boro ve'achirim tzrichim mayam. And here too, we bring a raya, attempt to bring a raya from the Braita, in which we have to change the girsa. And we go through the same thing that we just a minute ago. Toshma, ha-machzir grushato mishenisait, he vitzaratach holetzer. What? They both need it? He vitzaratach sakadaita, can't mean that. Okay, to change the language. Oh, he, oh, tzarata. So how can you bring a raya from here? You're telling me the Braita says neither of them can have Yibam, right? Which, of course, is in and of itself a question because according to the version that we're dealing with now, Rabbi Yochanan was asking only about the Grusha itself. He held that the Tzara was Kshera LeYibam. So over here, Stam, we've got a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, which we have to resolve. And that is what we're coming to resolve. V'lav terutzik ometeratz talei, didn't you change the language? So if you change the language, change it to what fits with Rabbi Yochanan. So Terit Sachi, he choletzet. She, the actual Grusha, requires chalitza. But the Tzara, oh choletzet, oh mityabemed. So then that means basically all we've done here, we still have a proof that she is a Surah Le'ibum, which answers Rabbi Yochanan. The only thing we were coming to say is don't ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from the fact that it said that the Tzora can't do it, can't do Yibum. That's all. Okay, Rabbosai, beautiful. And we could change the Lashon, and tomorrow we'll think about yet another woman who may affect the Tzara, and we know who that is, because we had her all the way back at the very beginning of the Masechet, when we asked, why do we need to mention those 15 women twice, and count up to 15, and so on. This 15 has been a big thing, you know? It turned somebody into a retard, it got up to 17, and now it's a question of how it is that we are either going to, yes, include the Tzara's Saita, the Tzara's Grusha, Marza Grushasa, and of course we're going to be getting next to Tzara's Mima Inet, which was the case that we said we'd have to say according to Rav and Levi.